Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Compass. My name is Chris. We haven't met. It's nice to meet you. I'm the lead pastor here. And we are in the middle of a series entitled Core. We are talking about the core values that are here at Compass. And here's the thing. Whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not, every decision you make, every choice you make is guided by a system of core values. My core values became very real to me this morning because I set my alarm this morning for the time I normally set it, but it was daylight savings. So we got that extra hour, right? How many of you guys are like loving that extra hour? Yeah. Okay. So this is the first morning in I don't even remember how long that I woke up before my alarm went off feeling refreshed and good. And I realized this, one of my core values in life is that I am going to get a full night's sleep, and I don't care how late I am up the night before. I am going to sleep until I feel good. And if I got to, guys, I'm going to be honest, I've snoozed like an hour. Has anybody snoozed for an hour? Dude, that's like the worst thing in the world for you, but dude, we gotta sleep. And so this morning I had that extra hour and it felt good and I woke up feeling refreshed and I realized, boy, I really value my sleep. And what's great is that, you know, this whole like waking up early before an alarm will last for two more days. And then, you know, 3 days from now, snooze for an hour, right back to it, right? But we're talking about our core values as a church. What are the things that guide Compass? What are the things that guide the decisions that we make and the choices we make and make us the church that we are? What are the principles that lead us? And so over the last several weeks, we've talked about some of those first three. There's five in total that we're going to talk about. But week one, we talked about that first core value for us, and that's this, that church should be fun. We believe that church should be fun because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And man, where the joy of the Lord is, it should be fun. It should be exciting. And so everything we do as a church, we believe that there should be some part of it that just is fun and engaging. You should laugh. You should enjoy yourself. You shouldn't come to Compass and never feel just heavy and beat down. There should always be a moment in our services where you feel like, man, that was fun, because we believe in the joy of the Lord. It's powerful. It's our strength. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about the core value that we grow grapes, not pineapples. And that core value basically says this, is that we do things in relationships. We do them together. Relationships are important. God never intended for you to grow spiritually by yourself, off alone in some prayer closet or some prayer corner, you know, like some monk, you know, that shaved the bald spot on your head. That's not how God intended for you to grow. God intended for you to grow more in a party than he did praying off in a corner by yourself. It's just how we were wired. And so here at Compass, we grow grapes that grow in bunches, not pineapples that grow one fruit per plant. So that's our second core value. The third one we talked about last week is that we reproduce at every level. We reproduce at every level. Not like the newlywed way, but we're talking about reproducing what God is doing in our lives into the lives of other people. And so that expresses itself in so many different ways. We talked about how it expresses itself in the way we serve, and that if there's any area of ministry here at Compass where people are involved, that it's a fail for us if it's one person doing it and not other people being developed and trained and learning how to do it, because we were all created to serve. You know, right up to me, you know, Mitch comes up here and he speaks all the time. He's someone that I believe in and I want to invest in, and I want to see what God has done in me reproduced in him, to the point where, man, I'm obsolete and I can go sip a virgin pina colada up in the back of the theater while church just happens. That would be awesome. So we reproduce at every level. That's not just serving, but it's about in discipling and seeing what God is doing in us that reproduced in other people's lives. So when God's speaking something to me, when he's speaking something to me out of his word, when I walk through something that's difficult and God carries me through, that I can speak from that process into someone else's life. And I can see God doing the same thing in other people, in my wife, my kids, my friends, my family, that he did in my life. So church should be fun. We grow grapes, not pineapples. We reproduce at every level. And then today we have our fourth core value that we're going to talk about. And to get there, I want to talk about a guilty pleasure that I have, and it is a TV show. I have a lot of TV show guilty pleasures, so you know, you hear me talk about them. But one of them, this is one that I don't admit or talk about that much. It's kind of because I'm a little bit ashamed of it. And it's partly because it's one of those shows that I would never like set out to intentionally watch. But if it's on, if there's like a marathon of it, I'm going to watch it for 5 hours, like, and I'm just going to, you know, die on my bed just watching it. And that's the TV show Chopped. Does anybody watch Chopped on the Food Network? Okay, so if you watch it, you know what I'm talking about. It's a food competition, and they get three or four chefs, and all these chefs come in, and they compete in different levels until they whittle it down to one person who wins Chopped. And how Chopped works is this. Each chef has 30 minutes to prepare a meal. Sometimes it's an entree, sometimes it's a dessert, sometimes it's an appetizer. And what happens is this. There's a basket set out at each cooking station for these chefs. And what they have to do is they have to open up the basket and look at the ingredients in the basket, and that's what they have to use to make the dish. So, for example, on Chopped, it might be something like, you know, when they open up their basket, it'll be, you know, black licorice, and then it'll be a cow tongue, and, you know, and then it'll be like a can of Coca-Cola or some just ridiculous, crazy ingredients. And their job is to take 30 minutes and make an amazing dish out of those things. Here's what I like about Chopped. It's less the ingredients, and it's more about this, like, there's no backup plan when it comes to Chopped. When you open that basket, and that clock starts, whatever's in there, you gotta cook it. And in 30 minutes, you can't, there's no backup plan where you can set up to say, okay, if this doesn't work out, I can do this. Because you've got 30 minutes and that's all it is. There's no plan B when it comes to Chopped. And so you've got these chefs and they're cooking crazy things. And sometimes they'll put it before the judges and it's awesome. I watched one yesterday. This was not in my notes, but I watched one yesterday. And they, Rocky Mountain oysters was one of the ingredients. Google it or talk to a friend after church to find out what that is. But so one person is like, hey, I know how to do that. And they do that. But like most of these guys had never used this ingredient before, and rightly so, because gross. And so this one person brings it up to the judge, and the judge is like, oh, it's so amazing. I love your unique take on this ingredient, and it's just wonderful and delicious. And then these other guys are like, I'm pretty sure you don't know how to cook it because it's raw in the middle, which again, gross. But now somehow double gross. But Chopped is so cool to me because there's no plan B. When you get to the end of your cooking time, when you get to the end of your recipe, that's it. And what you present to the judges, what you've built, what you've designed, that's all you have to go on. And the core value that I want to talk about today that's deep in who we are as Compass is this. It's a core value that says there's no plan B. So I want to take this morning and I want to elaborate on that a little bit, that there's no plan B. Oftentimes we talk about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a person who wrote most of the New Testament. And Paul's an interesting guy because Paul was a dude who hated Christians. He hated Christianity. He hated Jesus. Paul's mission in life was to destroy Christianity, to wipe it out. And so he would go around, he would arrest Christians, he would have them tortured. He stood by while Christians were killed. They were stoned, people throwing rocks at them until they were killed. Paul was a mean dude and he hated Christianity, but Paul's journey is really interesting because Jesus appeared to Paul. And all of a sudden, Paul goes from this guy who hates Christianity, who wants it wiped out, to becoming one of the strongest forces in spreading Christianity throughout the world. Paul went from hating Christianity to having an encounter with Jesus. And now Paul is the guy who started most of the churches in the first century when the church started. Paul was really one of the first big missionaries who went around to the Roman world, and he went to places nobody else was going to go to. He went to places where there were no Jewish people because Christianity was kind of viewed as a Jewish sect, and Paul was like, no. Christianity is not just about being a little bubble that exists in Judaism. Christianity is bigger than that. It's for everybody. And so Paul was really... He was the founder of the first century church in a lot of ways. And Paul wrote most of the New Testament. What's interesting about what Paul wrote is Paul wrote a bunch of letters. The stuff that we read in the New Testament, you know, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, all these other Ian names, you know, these were not like Paul writing something saying, I want to write a Bible, so I'm going to put down all my thoughts in these books, and then I'll compile them, and then it will be a Bible. That's not what it was. Paul was writing letters to churches that he'd started. Paul was writing letters to churches that he'd started maybe months or years before, and he was just trying to encourage them, or he was trying to correct them, or he was trying to coach them on what it meant to correctly follow Jesus. And so when you think about what the New Testament is this collection of really letters from a guy to some of his friends. And he's trying to encourage them and teach them what it means to really follow Jesus and connect with Jesus. And there's one specific passage that Paul writes to a church in a city called Ephesus. And Paul wanted the Ephesians in the city of Ephesus to really understand what it meant to follow Jesus and what God's purpose and his plan for them was. He wanted them to get the big picture for what God's plan and what God meant for them as the church. And so in Ephesians, in chapter 1, it's kind of the opening of this letter that Paul writes to his friends in the church at Ephesus. And Paul says this. He says that God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ. It's a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Okay, so there's this plan. And Paul's like, guys, I want you to understand this. First of all, we need to understand God's plan, okay? And if we're going to understand how we fit, we need to get the plan. God's plan is this. He wants to point everything to Jesus. And not only point everything and everyone to Jesus, he wants to bring everything and everyone under Jesus. He wants to run everything through Jesus. Jesus is the center of life. Jesus is the center of what it means to really understand and know God. Jesus is the center of living the best life that God planned for you to live. And so he's like, guys, God's plan is to bring everyone to an understanding that Jesus is it. Jesus is the authority. Jesus is the man. Everything runs through Jesus. That's God's plan. And he continues on. So we know in God's plan in Ephesians 1, 12 through 13, he continues. He says, God's purpose was that we Jews who were first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. So understand this. When Christianity started, it started among the Jewish people. Jesus was Jewish. He taught amongst Jewish people. And then when Jesus died and was raised from the dead, Christianity spread amongst Jewish people. And so Paul's saying, listen, when Christianity started, when God first started putting his plan into motion, when he started to reveal his purpose behind the plan, it started amongst the Jewish people. And they were the first to trust in Christ so that they could bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles, you people who aren't Jewish, who had no Jewish background, no understanding of Jewish scriptures, you've also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit who he promised long ago. So Paul's laying this thing out and he says, listen, first you got to understand what God's plan is. God's plan is to align everything under Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the authority. He's going to be the head of everything. His plan is to put everything under Jesus. His purpose behind that, the reason God's plan is that, is for us. You see, God's purpose is that we can know what it means to be close to God, that we can know what it means to be saved from our sins, saved from the things that would keep us separated from God, that we can understand what it means to have the Holy Spirit living in us and through us. So God's plan is to bring everything under Jesus, but the purpose behind that plan so that we can really experience and know God. The purpose is for our good. The purpose is for our benefit and so that we can be close to him and so that we can know what it means to have his Holy Spirit living in us. So we got God's plan to bring everything under Jesus. The purpose behind the plan is for our benefit so that we can really be close to and know God. And then he continues in Ephesians 1, 19 through 20. Talking to the church at Ephesus, he says, I also pray that knowing your plan and knowing your purpose, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. God's plan is to bring everything under Jesus. The purpose is so that we can know him and so that we can experience real transformative relationship with him. But next, the next thing we got to understand as a church is we got to understand the power that makes it happen. The power that God has for us in order to accomplish his plan and his purpose. And here's what's awesome. Paul lays this out. He's like, listen, this power I'm going to tell you about, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that can take someone who has died and breathe life back into their body and bring them to life. It's the power that can put the Spirit of God in us so that we can experience that same strength, that same joy, that same hope, that same power of God in us. And Paul's like, okay, I want you to understand the power of God and how it functions and how it's going to work in this world. So guys, Gary, this is the power of God I'm telling you about. And he continues in Ephesians 1, 21 through 23. Talking about the power of God. Said, now Jesus, he's far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And God put all things under the authority of Christ. So Paul's setting this up. He's like, okay, listen, here's the thing. You got to understand this. When we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about everything is under his authority. All of it. He's got power over everything. He's got power over life and death. There's nothing that is impossible for him. He has authority over everything. He can speak the word and it has to happen because that's the power that Jesus had. So understanding that power, understanding that God's put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things, he did that for what? For the benefit of the church. Let me read that again. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things. So God put Jesus over everything, right? He has all power, all authority. He can do and say anything he wants. He can command anything that he wants. Why? For the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So Paul, he's laying out this image, right? This picture. And he says, first of all, he says there's this plan that God has. The plan is to point everything to Jesus. And so that everyone just comes to him and recognizes that life, that hope, that relationship with God all runs through him. And the reason that's the plan is because he wants us to know and experience God. It's for our benefit. The purpose is for us. And then he says this, the power. I want you to understand the power. Jesus has all power over everything. He can do anything he wants. And the reason Jesus has all power is for the benefit of the church. You see, Jesus is the head of the church, and the church is his body. And Jesus fills everything with himself, particularly the body of Christ, the church. So here's what Paul's saying. He's saying that God's plan and God's plan and purpose and the power to accomplish the plan and purpose are all wrapped up and intertwined in one thing. The plan and purpose that God has for us in the world and the power that he's given and authority that he's given Jesus to accomplish that plan and purpose, all of those things are wrapped up in one thing, and that's this. It's the church. You see, the church is the engine that God chose to use in this world to accomplish his mission. The church is the creation that he put together in order to fulfill his plan and his purpose. And when I'm talking about church, I'm not talking about, you know, like the building, you know, with the steeple, like the four walls make it some sort of sacred thing. You know, literally the quote I just heard lately this week is, man, a church is four walls and a roof. I mean, that's what a church building is. And we're not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about like the Holy Roman Catholic Church and the Pope who's the head over all that, or, you know, whether you're Southern Baptist or you're Assemblies of God or you're Methodist. We're not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about a building. We're not even talking about just a local name brand church, you know, Compass, Eastview, Vail, you know, Hope Church. We're not talking about any of those things. When Paul talks about the church, he's talking about this global, this universal thing that Jesus has put together. And what he's talking about is us. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. I mean, the word church, the first time it's ever used, Jesus uses it. And Jesus says, look, I'm going to build my church. And the word is ecclesia in the Greek. And the word literally means just a gathering of people. There's another Greek word that he could have used that meant a religious or spiritual gathering. He could have chosen to use that word when he was talking about his church, but he didn't. He chose the word that said a gathering of people, because the church, the strength of what the church is, it's not a building, it's not a denomination. It is us. It's people. God has a plan for this world. He has a purpose for the people in it. And he's poured out his power in order to accomplish that plan and purpose. And it's all wrapped up in one thing. It's wrapped up in the church. It's wrapped up in us. So let me just illustrate this. If you're like me, there have been times probably where you sat on your couch or in your bedroom and you're just thinking, and you're thinking about life and you're thinking, man, what would I do? I mean, what would my plan be if like aliens invaded Earth and, you know, they came down in their ships and they just kind of took everything over and I like had to put some plan together in order to conquer those aliens, right? I mean, we think about those things, you know what I'm talking about? And so what would my plan be if I was going to wipe out all of these aliens and save mankind? And probably many of you have come to the same conclusion I have. And that's this, is that if I were going to wipe out alien invaders, I would probably craft a series of like four gigantic robots that I would then have piloted by really gifted guys who could come in. They would sit in like maybe the head of a robot and you steer it around and they would fight the aliens. And I would probably make like giant cat robots, because cats are cool. And, you know, they run on four legs and they got claws and they get teeth. And so I would make four giant cat robots, and then a pilot would fight the aliens. And what I would do in addition to that is I would say, okay, in case there's some big, real big alien menace that these individual cat robots couldn't handle, what I would do is I would figure out a way for all these cat robots to join together into like one giant man-shaped body of a giant mega man robot, and he would like fight them with a huge gigantic sword. Okay, so that's what I would do. In fact, but then I realized that had already been created. Someone had already thought of that. So this is Voltron. Some of the 80s dudes in the room are like, I know what you're talking about, Chris. I'm not an idiot. And a lot of the ladies in this room are like, Chris, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. But this is Voltron, right? And Voltron is made up of these four gigantic cat robots, and each cat robot is piloted by one just super smart, you know, dude, and they're like wearing cool tights and cool helmets, and they're just awesome. But whenever they fight an alien force that's too big, they join together into Voltron. I wish they had his sword. Voltron has this gigantic sword that's as tall as him, because of course, if you're gonna make a giant robot, why would you fight with lasers? You would of course fight with a huge sword, right? Dumb. Okay, so anyway, so this is Voltron. And really, this in many ways is what Paul's talking about. If Paul lived today, he would write to the Ephesians church. He'd say, listen, God created Voltron when he created the church. See, we're the cat robots. We're the body of Christ, and we're all put together. And sitting up at the top is Jesus. See that head up there? That's Jesus, okay? So Jesus he's sitting inside that head, and he's got, you know, his pilot stick, and he's like steering the brain of things, right? And then us down there underneath, That's us. You know, we're in these cat robot bodies, and we're just kind of fulfilling our own functions, and Jesus is the head of this robot. Jesus is making the decisions. Jesus is directing the power. Jesus is making sure everything's happening the way he wants it to. But here's the thing, like, about the Jesus Church Voltron, like, robot thing that we are, okay? Understand this. That when God designed the church, when God designed this gigantic Voltron body for us to fight in with Jesus, he designed it for a specific purpose, and it was the only thing he designed. It was it. He didn't make anything else. When Jesus designed the church, when he created its form and function, and when God said, listen, I'm creating this body of people, and I'm going to put them together, and I'm going to give Jesus authority, and I'm going to give him power, and I'm just going to stick him in a robot head, and I'm going to plug him down into that body, that Jesus essentially becomes the authority and the power that guides and directs us as the church. But listen, there's only one Voltron robot body that's ever been built and that ever will be built in the kingdom of God, and that's us. You see, literally, when we talk about God's plan for this world in order to fulfill his mission, and his mission is this, it's Matthew 28, 19, and 20, and that's when he tells us the church, he tells us his people to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Jesus and the Son and the Father and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus taught. That's our mission, is to reach people and connect them to him. It's God's plan. And the purpose for that plan is for our benefit, so that we can know right relationship with him. But he made one tool to make it happen. That. It's the church. There's no plan B. Here's the thing. If we don't accomplish what he laid out for us, it doesn't happen. If Voltron doesn't go out and fight those aliens, there's no one else who's going to do it, because this is all God designed. This is all he made. This is all there is. And the church is like Voltron. We're the body that God made to plug Jesus's power and plug Jesus's authority and plug his strength into, so that we can fight the battle, so that we can accomplish the plan and the purpose that he laid out for us. We are God's plan A, guys. We are plan A, and there is no plan B. We're it. And we need to understand that, because if the church fails to be what God intends for us to be, if we fail at the mission that God laid out for us, no one else is coming behind us to make it happen. This is it. We are it. And so for our church, this core value that there's no plan B, I mean, this very real, urgent reality that we hold close, that there is no plan B, that the church is God's plan A, there's no plan B. What this means for us as a church is this, is that it means that the decisions we make and the things that we do as the church are designed around us being the church. And so it means this, is that we're not about moving a political or moral compass in our culture one way or another. That we're not about that. It means that we're not about, you know, creating a safe environment for kids to get a good education, or start a Christian school. I mean, that's good, but that's not what we're about. That's not what we're going to do. It means this, that we're not about going out and just trying to enforce social justice in our world and to right wrongs. That's not what we are about, because we are the church. And if we don't do the things that the church is about, if we don't fulfill God's mission to go and make disciples, then nobody else will do it. God didn't design anything else to do it. There's not some other robot sitting in backup just waiting to come out and accomplish the mission behind us. It's not going to happen. But here's the thing. If we go out and recognize that we are God's plan A, and we make ourselves about the mission of making disciples and of reaching people and connecting them in right relationship to Jesus, teaching them how to follow and growing in our own ability to follow him. When everything clicks in the church and we function as the church, it's amazing how all of those other things fall into place. When we function as the church, when we are fully engaged in being God's plan A, it's amazing what can happen in a community, in the morality of the people in a community when God is moving through his church. It's amazing how schools can be intersected and children can be taught and raised up to follow God in the right way when the church is functioning as the church and not trying to function as an education system. It's amazing to see what happens in the lives of people who are hurting and broken and in need when the church is fulfilling its mission to make disciples, and all of a sudden you see their needs getting met as well. You see people who are sick getting provided for. You see people who are hungry and thirsty. You see their needs being met through the church, but it's only when the church functions as the church. Otherwise, we're just an awesome nonprofit that's doing charity work. And God didn't create the Red Cross to be his plan to save a lost and dying world. You see, the church of God is not a Band-Aid. We're not a Band-Aid. We're not something to put over a scratch or a wound and just try to protect it from getting any worse. We're the body of Christ. We're the power of Jesus. We are the power of a resurrected Christ. The power of life over death is in us. And we have one mission: to take that power, to take that life, the life of Jesus, and see it planted in the hearts and lives of other people. And if we don't do it, nobody's going to do it. So that's what it means for us as a church. That means when we make decisions about how do we best fulfill God's mission for us as a church. When we make our calendar, that's what it's all about. How can we fulfill God's mission for us to be God's plan A? Because we know that there's no plan B. Here's what this means for you as an individual. A couple takeaways for you. It means this. First is that you have a purpose in the body of Christ. You have a purpose. You were created with a purpose. You were designed with a specific purpose. There's this puzzle piece shape in the church body that you were designed to plug into and fill. You know, you didn't just get into this thing by accident. You're not here at Compass today by accident. You have a specific purpose. And it's not to just sit in a seat and to hear some guy try to entertain you for half an hour. Your purpose is to be the body of Christ. So one, you have a purpose. The second takeaway for you is this, is that you're not a spectator. The body of Christ, there's no bench, okay? There's no sidelines for the B team to sit back and observe. We're all a necessary part of this. There's no spectators. There's no backup. You know, you're a giant cat robot, and you need to plug into the rest of the cat robots and let Jesus smash his giant Jesus head into you so that he can do what he wants to do through us. You're not a spectator. You've got a purpose. You are part of God's plan. He chose you. He chose me. He chose us. And okay, so let's boil this down too, just in our community. This is crazy, but think about this. Why does Bloomington Normal need Compass Church? I mean, there's other churches. There's huge churches that lots of people are connected at, where thousands of people go to. Why Compass? Why do we need to exist? Why do we need to be here? Because we're the body of Christ, and we're designed and created to do something very specific in our community. You're not here by accident. We are not here by accident. He didn't put this thing together by accident. You're important. We're important. And if we don't fulfill what God has called us to do as Compass Church, there's no other church in town that's going to do it. We are created for a purpose, and God has designed it so that we are his plan A. There's no plan B. So individually this week, here's what you can do. You can realize that you're God's plan A. And realizing that, you can recognize that you need to go out this week and you need to be part of his mission and you need to make disciples. And maybe for you, making disciples is telling someone about Jesus. It's telling someone about something that God is doing in your life. It's inviting that person who you've been meaning to talk to lunch, but you've been too embarrassed. You've been too afraid. You feel stupid. Well, you know, welcome to feeling stupid. We're big giant cat robots. I mean, it's what God made. He made the church. So, man, you need to go out and you need to take a step and you need to be the church, because if you don't do it, there's no plan B. Individually, you need to do that. Maybe for you, it's not someone you don't know. Maybe it's that conversation you need to have with your kids, your spouse, a family member. Maybe it's you need to have a conversation in a preschool class as a teacher. Maybe it's for you, it's having a conversation in the lobby after church where you're just engaging people and loving them. But you need to go a step further to be the church. You need to step out of your comfort zone and be the church and jump into the mission that God has designed you for. And corporately as the church, together, there's lots of things we can do. One of those things is this Center for Youth and Family Solutions project that we're working on. This deal where we're going to go into this, you know, this nonprofit organization that works with foster care, putting families back together. We're going to go and repaint and remodel their facility corporately together as a church. But here's the thing. We don't do this because we want to put paint on walls. We don't do this because we want to make neat rooms. That's not what this is about. We do that so that we can connect with people, so that we can show them Jesus loves you. And if I got to paint a wall to show you Jesus loves you, let me paint four. You can get engaged in the CYFS project by giving. Maybe you can't, you know, get involved painting on the 15th. You can look at the insert in your bulletin and you can see the needs we want to fulfill, the couches, the TVs, the toys that we want to get to create these visitation rooms so families can get reconnected, so they can know that somebody loves them, know that Jesus loves them. Maybe you can write a check. Maybe you could write a check for the whole thing today. And that's what God's calling you to do, is you're part in the body of Christ. Maybe your cat robot has a great big bank account. I don't know, but I know this, that God has put you in here both individually and corporately, and you can speak to people and connect with people in your world, and you can engage with what we are doing as Compass Church. And as we go into the holidays, there's going to be more opportunities for us to engage as the church in ways to connect with people outside of our four walls so that they can know that Jesus loves them. Because we are God's plan A. You are God's plan A. And there's no plan B. We're it. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've chosen such a crazy and ridiculous way to reach this world, God, that you chose to do it through us. And God, we recognize that we are flawed and broken, and oftentimes, God, we don't know what to do or what to say. And Lord, the idea that you would choose to use us as your tool, God, is as the weapon to go and take light into dark places, God. Lord, it's both humbling and it's scary. But Lord, I know this. The truth of it is that since you've made us your plan A, your word says this, is that you have given us the power to do it. The power of life over death, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, it resides in us. You gave us your Holy Spirit to accomplish this plan, to see your purposes happen in this world. And so, Lord, I pray this. I pray that every blessing that you've poured out on each and every single one of us, that, God, we would pour twice as much out into our community. We'd pour twice as much out into the people around us, because there's no plan B. And if we don't do it, nobody else will. Jesus, I pray that you would give us an urgency about this mission. I pray that you would point out opportunities where we can engage in it, God. And I pray, Lord, that this value that's part of Compass would bounce around and resonate in our minds, and that we would not be able to forget it. I pray when we get up and take a shower, it would nag us that there's no plan B. I pray that when we're connecting with our friends and our family who don't know Jesus, that it would just bother us that there's no plan B, God, and that if we don't act, nobody else will. And so, Lord, I pray that you would both give us those opportunities and empower us to be your church, and that, God, at the end of the day, that we can look out at Bloomington Normal, we can look out at Hayworth and Leroy and Hudson and Towanda and all these surrounding areas, and we can say that this community is different because God planted Compass Church here, because God planted the body of Christ here, and he empowered us under the authority of Jesus to fulfill his mission. God, we surrender ourselves to you today and pray that you would give us opportunities to be your church, give us strength to be your church, and give us the vision to be your church. Lord, we love you. We pray all of this in your awesome and holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.